Colossians chapter 2, Paul is writing, wanting to help them so that they didn't get caught up with things that look nice and shiny religiously, but are of actually no worth. You know, falling for the idea that it's ritual and things that I do for rote and pattern that matters to God, when what really matters to God is faith in Jesus. You know, faith in Him. And so he spends time through Colossians chapter 2 saying, see to it that nobody takes you captive. Because these ideas, these novel ideas, and at the time that they were dealing with, you know, there were people who would come and say, you know, it's wonderful that you believe in Jesus, but if you really want to be right with God, you need to also follow the law. Particularly, you need to get circumcised, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this, you have to do that. And it was the one of the biggest controversies in the church at that time. This whole, okay, you've trusted in Jesus, but if you really want to be godly, then you need to be a Jew. Which is what they were saying. And Paul, in his contending for the gospel, would very strongly stand against that. And this is part of that dialogue. And we're going to read from verse 20. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourselves to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. In other words, it doesn't actually get to the heart of the problem. It's like you have... do you remember Jesus would call the Pharisees tombs filled with dead men's bones? You know, whitewashed tombs filled with dead men's bones. The outside looks nice and shiny and polished. The problem is the inside has dead men's bones in it. And this is an extension of that. You know, people who follow a religious approach to God. I need to say my prayers at a certain time. And the problem with coming against these things is that it's not wrong to pray. And it's not wrong to have the discipline of praying at a particular time. So I'm not trying to attack that. What I'm trying to get across, though, is it's the why you're doing it that matters to God. Are you doing these things so that you can be in God's good books, finally? Are you doing these things so that other people see, oh, what a Christian this person is? Because those things are of no value. They don't solve the things that are going on within you that result in trouble for you. So this is what Paul is getting at. Don't be fooled. Outward things don't do anything. What God is really after is a life built from the inside out, and it's built on what Jesus has done for you. So that's where your confidence continually has to come to. So these things, they have the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but of no value against fleshly indulgence. You know, I remember seeing there was a particular group of Christians who, I can't remember the time frame that I saw this or where, but it doesn't matter. What they would do as part of their devotion to God, they would get chains with little thorns on them and they would whip their backs. I think it's called self-flagellation or something like that, self-mortification or some religious sounding term. And what are they doing? Well, the flesh is the problem, so we need to punish it and get it into shape so that we're ready for God's will. And it sounds, on the one hand, if you're into that kind of thing, it sounds, oh, they must be so devoted to God that they'd be willing to do stuff. I mean, there are people who, you know, at certain places where significant things have happened in history, you know, they'll get on their knees and they'll crawl up the stairs towards some place of, you know, where something significant happened, some, I will say idol, but I don't think they would say that. Some monument, some place of devotion. You know, this is their act of devoting. You know, it's just showing how humble they are before God. And all of that stuff only deals with the outside. How does beating yourself on the back with chains so that you bleed change your heart in your attitude towards the people around you? Only God does that. Only receiving God does that. So, he then goes on to say, therefore, in chapter 3, If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. At the heart of many of these religious practices is the thought, you actually haven't changed. When you came to God, it's great, it's wonderful that you came to God, but nothing has really changed. All that's changed is your thought that God matters. When in actual fact, when you received Jesus, everything changed. Even if it didn't look that way, everything completely changed for you. You were dead, and now you are alive. How? Because you've been joined to Jesus. He is our life, right? Religious practices is not our life. And sometime down the road, I do want to take some time to talk about religious disciplines that we need to get involved with. There are things that are worth pursuing, but not to make you something that you're not already. You are already joined to God. You are already dead with him, which is an extraordinary thing. When you said yes to God, you died. Baptism in water has got to do with an expression of the union between you and God, that when he died, you died. So many of the things that these religious practices seek to deal with, Jesus actually dealt with it. The problem is we don't believe it. You know, in the book of Philippians, and I think we talked about this in one of the earlier ones, it says you have a forbearing spirit. Not get one. You have one. Forbearing spirit. A spirit that can put up with stuff. You know, Christians should be the last ones who are losing their tempers, who are getting all dramatic about the things that happen. We should be the most even-keeled people there are. I'm not saying that we all have to be clones and that we're not passionate, but things should not throw us off track. We should be able to take in stride. You know what? Honestly, it should not surprise you that the people in the world that you know act like they're in the world. That really should not surprise you, that dead people do dead things. We should not be thrown by that. And the scriptures say you have a forbearing spirit, but we're not used to saying, in agreement with what God says, yeah, what I was ended. You know, some of us, before we came to Christ, we were hotheads. Some of us were so dispassionate we could care about nothing. Both are wrong, right? But we died. That's not who is still alive. And part of what has to happen for our transformation into what Jesus himself is really like all the time. You remember the scriptures say in Romans? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Is that we need to believe the gospel concerning what has happened to us. We died with him, and a new life has been given to us that we are to live out of. So here in Colossians, he says, set your mind on the things above. I know from personal experience, it's so easy to get caught up with all the stuff that's going on, like all the stuff I got to do. You know, right now I'm teaching at the university, I got to mark the midterms, I got to get the final exam ready, I got to get ready to lectures for this. On top of that, I got all this other stuff I got to do. And so it's easy to just get caught up and say, that's what my life is. That's not my life. My life is him. These things are just a setting. My life is him. And if I want to see the will of God work out in me and through me, I need to do what he says. Set your mind on the things above. And you know what? That's a huge topic. It's a huge topic. Seek the things that are above, not the things that are on earth. That's a huge topic. But let's just start here. We need to cultivate the practice of recognizing, first of all, things can look a certain way other than what God says, but that doesn't mean it's true. And secondly, remember what I say. This is just a tiny bit of a large topic. I want to see things the way God sees things. I want to see my life, my troubles, my circumstances, my relationships, my whatever I'm going through, I want to see them from His perspective. I want to see them from His perspective. So much of our worries come from seeing things only from our perspective. I don't know how to solve this. So therefore, I worry. But that is not God's perspective on things. And so one of the things that I want us, and I'm going to end right here, I encourage you, I exhort you to do, add to your prayers as you work things out, as relationships have to be sorted out. And we know that there's all sorts of unpleasant and difficult things that come up, partly because of what other people do, and partly because of what we do and how we react to things. You know, that forbearing spirit that we're supposed to move in, instead of moving in it, we move in some other kind of spirit, and we can sometimes make things far worse in a relationship than needed to be if we had just been forbearing, if we'd just been patient, kind. Okay, so stuff happens, and we have to work it out. Well, I ask, encourage you, add to your prayers, Father, let me see this from your perspective. Let me be ruled not by my own idea and how of what needs to be done. Let me be ruled by what you're saying. I want to see this from your side. I want to see this from your side. One of the things that will change your life is to begin to see the people around you as people who Jesus died for. Not just that jerk who always does, but rather this is somebody who Jesus died for. I want to see things from your side, Lord Jesus. I want to see things from above and not below. I want to see things as if they've already got a solution, not they don't have one yet. Because that's how God thinks. God thinks in terms of provision. You know, we know that God, I said I was going to end here. Jesus is Jehovah Jireh. What does that mean? He is provision. God doesn't have to be convinced to provide for you. Any more that he has to be convinced to heal you. It is who he is. Well, I want to think from that perspective. Instead of having to get God to give me something, I want to think from the perspective of, he's already done it. Father, help me to see what I need to do now. I want to connect with what you've already made possible. Okay? So add to your prayers. And remember, this is just a tiny little fragment of what it means to seek the things that are above and to set your mind on the things that are above and not on the earth. I want to see from your perspective. I want to judge from your perspective. I want to rule. I want to choose my course from your perspective and not just mine. Okay? We'll stop there since I said we're going to be done. So we'll just quickly give thanks to the Lord, and then for all who can help with our